Right, so Dr. Michael Van Stratten joins us. How are you, Michael?
Oh, I've got my feet tapping after that.
Mayan Morris, a bit of country rock for you there. Right, right then. Let's move. How have you had the bad weather in France? We've had some pretty hefty rain down on the Costa Blanca here and Costa del Sol.
We have had no rain for weeks and weeks and weeks. Oh. A couple of showers. We are desperately short of water.
Oh, well, we've got plenty down here, that's for sure, at the moment.
But it's been hot and sunny. Lovely.
It's very sticky and kind of humid here at the moment. Anyway, right, Michael, let's start off with something I am, in all seriousness, something I never had an issue with, but orthorexia.
Yes. I didn't think many people would know what it was. It's a condition.
Yeah.
It's not universally accepted in the sort of medical textbooks or the medical, you know, the various colleges of medicine and science don't recognize it yet as a very specific condition. It was a term coined by a specialist doctor back in 1998, I think it was.
Yeah.
But it is a word that describes people who are obsessed, but I mean literally obsessed, with healthy eating, with clean eating.
Yeah.
And it's a disastrous thing. I mean, it's spreading like wildfire. It's mostly hugely promoted by bloggers, by celebrities, by the internet, all these types of easy ways,
influencers.
Ways of quickly they're communicating called, ideas.
They're called influencers now. They go on Instagram and they influence people with what they're doing. It's interesting, Mark, because I know from my kind of church work that whenever you take a truth to an extreme, it becomes error. So,
well,
there is obviously some truth in the fact that raw food's good for you. But
yes, but how it starts, you know, people start out by, you know, thinking, right, I'm going to give up the Friday night, you know, takeaways.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop drinking wine with my meals. I'm going to give up the morning coffee because it's not very good for you. And, you know, you start off feeling really virtuous and good, and you feel energized.
Oh, yeah.
And then you read something else, usually about things like gluten-free or dairy-free or meat-free, or eventually vegan extreme diets, or just raw food. And before you know it, you really have a very, very serious eating problem.
Yeah.
The people become so obsessed, they spend their lives worrying about if they've been invited out somewhere, what they're going to have to eat, if they have to go to a function or an official dinner somewhere, what's going to be set before them, what can they eat, how they cover up the fact that they can't or won't eat any of it. And before you know it, they become anorexic.
And that's the main problem as well. When I think about some of these diets that people have and kind of strict what they put themselves on, kind of narrows down the kind of the enjoyment of food, going out and maybe just making your mind up on the whim as to what you're going to have that night, or maybe being invited to somebody's house. And, you know, apart from the fact that I'm not that keen on mushrooms, most food I'll eat, you know, so that kind of takes that enjoyment away, doesn't it?
Of course it is. Look, there's a difference, all the difference in the world between not eating something that you don't like. I mean, no. I don't like shellfish. You know, Celine, my wife, she adores it, so I happily cook it for her, but I won't eat it.
Yeah.
I would never put a raw oyster in my mouth. God help me. I would die at the thought of it. But apart from that, you put it on a plate and you stick it in front of me, I'll eat it, because I enjoy eating. I enjoy the social aspect. I mean, yesterday, our local wine producer in the village had their one of their open days.
Yeah.
Just before they do the vendange. And we met up with some friends. We all met up there in their huge, great cellars, tables down the middle, all sorts of local producers who produce goat's cheese and pâtés and all sorts of wonderful things.
Yeah.
Lots of wine flowing. And we all sat at this long table, and we spent, you know, a 2.5-hour Sunday lunchtime in great laughter, great enjoyment, great pleasure in everybody else's company, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
But you imagine if you were a total orthorexic, And you are faced with plates of oysters. Well, actually, they might eat oysters because they're raw food. They might just do that. But on the whole, they don't eat any sort of... They end up not eating fish or meat or any dairy products.
So would these be the people who say, actually, you know what, I'm not on any gluten at the moment, and actually, medically, there's no reason why they can't have gluten?
No, look, if you look at gluten as an example, there are probably less than 1% of the whole population in the world who are intolerant of gluten.
Yeah.
There are about 20% of the population who believe that they are gluten intolerant and they never eat it. Now, if you have celiac disease, then it really is a question of life and death.
Mm.
Now, you've got to have food which is gluten-free. There are some people with a very special form of irritable bowel syndrome who react badly to gluten. But those are tiny, minuscule proportions of the public.
Yeah.
For those people, it's serious. For the rest of the world, it does no good at all. And as soon as you start to cut out whole food groups, you really, really get into trouble. And you need to look out for the signs amongst, especially if you've got kids who start eating peculiarly. Because what happens is that, you know, healthy eating is a good idea. But not when it becomes an obsession.
Yeah.
Not when it becomes to the point where you will sit and read the ingredients label down to the last tiny dot and comma before you buy anything, or demand to see what's in the, you know, in the ingredients that are on the menu in your takeaway. You know, it's crazy, and they end up giving up meat, becoming dairy-free, becoming, you know, calorie-free, pasta-free, and in the end, they are having such a low calorie intake that after a few months of doing these extreme things with their food intake, they start to feel more and more ill. They have less and less energy. They have more and more aches and pains and headaches and bowel problems, you know, all sorts of digestive problems.
Yeah.
Their livers don't work properly. In the end, they end up in hospital desperately, desperately ill. Now, that's the extreme.
What's all this down to, Michael? Is it the fact that, you know, we've got internet now, people are Instagramming their meals, and there's kind of all these health food gurus, what we like about you is that you're pretty balanced. We've got another woman called Zoe Harkimer comes on, is pretty balanced as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it happens because... the media have a huge influence. They promote all these ideas of being beautiful, having perfect skin, not a blemish, being perfectly slim, you know, all looking like models who stepped out of the front page of Vogue.
A bit like your good self, Michael.
Well, yes, exactly, but I wouldn't like to boast about that, but, you know. But the fact is, if you saw those models in the real flesh, most of them look awful, but without all the makeup plastered all over them, they're too thin.
Need a good steak sandwich. Anyway.
Yes, exactly. And that's a really, really serious problem. As soon as you see people who are obsessed with their food, they're always talking about, well, this one said you shouldn't eat that, and that one said you shouldn't eat the other, and this one, this website advertises, you know, special lists of all the foods you shouldn't eat, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and in the end, it's anorexia. But you get problems even before that, because, you know, if you look at other sides of the coin, if you look at things which really make people poorly and ill, I know this wasn't the next one on my list, but suddenly it occurred to me that these two run close
together.
They
do, yeah. So the pressure to encourage plant-based nutrition could be harmful to brain and health and cause nutrient deficiency. I saw this in the newspaper the last couple of weeks, Michael.
Well, big research paper from the British Medical Journal Nutrition. And they are increasingly concerned about the idea that people are getting to believe that a plant-based diet is the best thing in the world.
Yes.
If you are a vegetarian, basically a vegan vegetarian, then you are going to be the healthiest person in the world.
Not true.
And unfortunately, that is not true.
Mm.
You can be a good vegetarian and be very healthy if you're careful.
Yeah.
being a vegan and staying healthy is much, much more difficult, because as soon as you start to cut out all the protein-containing foods, dairy produce, eggs, cheese, milk, fish, meat, you are raising the risks of a serious nutritional deficiency, because you miss out on a chemical which is only in animal proteins called choline. And choline is an essential part of human nutrition. You really can't function without it. And the answer is, it's fashionable. Just like things in food go in and out of fashion, like anorexia isn't the fashionable thing now, it's orthorexia, you know. You're trying to be extra healthy. People who take on board these messages about plant-based diets, which a lot of which today come from, as well as coming from all the lunatics and the appalling celebrities, a lot of it comes from the environmentalists now, because they're all saying that it's meat production that is causing the problems with climate change. And it is true that meat production, raising livestock, does play a part in increasing the climate problems. It's damaging our ozone layers. It's damaging the whole way in which plants and animals interact. Yes, there are ways that you can farm more ecologically. You can farm less intensively. Intensive farming is the really worst. If you're determined to reduce your animal protein intake, well, stop eating meat if you really must.
Michael,
a little bit of meat.
Can I just ask, is it difficult for these guys who are doing the research on this stuff? Because I suppose if you look at certain people who are not vegan, I could even look at my own diet and say, actually, you know what, even though I'm not vegan, there's aspects of my diet which need to change. And so it's difficult to get a true picture on whether a meat eater is more healthy than a vegan, because of the fact that, you know, the meat eater might be eating a whole load of sugar as well, and chocolate and all kinds of junk food going in it. So it's, it must be difficult to get a true picture, but we're starting to get this message now, aren't we? It's starting to come across.
We have got a lot of really, really good, serious scientific evidence. For example, if you're on a good vegetarian diet, you reduce your risks of high blood pressure and strokes and heart disease.
Yeah.
But a good vegetarian diet does not mean cutting out all the animal proteins, because you'd still be eating some eggs, some cheese. Lots of people who I know who are vegetarians are really sort of pescatarians.
Yes.
They may have fish once in a while, which is a very important part of the diet. But again, as you said right at the beginning, the most important thing is to have a balanced diet. A little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of the other. This is the way you have a healthy overall intake of all the nutrients. Because, you know, we are, as man, we are omnivores. We are designed to eat everything.
Well, what about, Michael, then, sorry to cut in, just because of time. What about somebody who says, look, I'm a vegan, and it's because of, and I respect people who say, what I don't like are militant vegans who demand that everybody else has to be a vegan as well.
Yeah.
But obviously there are some people out there who will be nice people, who will be listening to us today, who are vegans, and they say, you know, it's my political choice, it's my principled choice, fair enough, but I take nutrients through supplements. What would you say to people who take nutrients through supplements? What's the difference between getting your nutrients through real food? Is there a difference?
Yes, a huge difference. Look, if you take supplements, have a part to play.
Yeah.
But you cannot live on a terrible diet, whether it's a bad quality vegan diet or a bad quality meat-eating diet or a pescatarian diet. If it's all poor quality junk food, you cannot live on that and take supplements and think you're going to be healthy.
Yeah.
The reason, very simply, what goes into the supplements is only what we know about today. And every so often we found out about a new nutrient which we didn't know about. We didn't know how important it was. And there are so many examples of that. We didn't know the importance, for instance, of vitamin D until fairly recently. We knew it was important for absorbing K2, calcium from your food to build strong bones. Well, we didn't know that vitamin D has a vital role to play as an enzyme to trigger off the functioning of lots of other processes in your body. We didn't know that some of the colouring, lycopene, which you find in tomatoes and carrots and all the red fruits and vegetables, we didn't know that it was a hugely important thing for, particularly for men, as a protection against prostate cancer and prostate disease, and a protection against many other forms of cancers. Very specifically, lycopene, you know, now you can buy it in a supplement, but it's only been added in recent years. So if you take a supplement, firstly, all you get is what we know about, and not what you would find in your food, because there are thousands of things in the food which we don't yet know about. But also, it all depends on the quality. Who knows what they put in and what they use to make your supplements?
Yeah.
You know, there are supplements and supplements. Some are good, some are better, some are absolute rubbish. You know. And if you want to believe in a balanced diet, well, you know, a chocolate cake in each hand is a balanced diet, if you want to be stupid.
Yeah.
And there are people like that. And look, if people have these very, very strong emotional principles about being a vegan, it's their choice.
Yeah.
But as I've said so often on this program, to bring up children on a vegan diet is appalling. I would prosecute them all for child abuse. You cannot produce an absolutely properly healthy child with all the nutrients it needs, especially for its brain function, on a vegan diet. And the vegans will argue with me and tell me I'm talking nonsense. All you've got to do is read the science, read all the published papers. You know, all the ones that say vegans are wonderful, all the research has been done by vegans or has been funded by companies who make vegan products. And it stands to reason.
And that's why, Michael, can I just ask, because that's where we all get caught up a little bit, don't we, with, we're not sure where the source is coming from. I've heard somebody say, look, go to, National Health Service, maybe, go to reputable organisations who will give you information on this, rather than just go with any whim of research that you pick up.
Exactly. The first thing is, don't believe anything you read on the internet. You know, Dr. Google is the most dangerous medical advice in the world, mostly. But even on the internet, there are reputable sites for health information. The NHS health sites are pretty good. There are the sites for all the health charities, which are very good. You know, the charities for bowel cancer, for heart disease, for Parkinson's disease, all those sort of charity websites give you very good, very sound, well-informed information. Don't bother asking a GP. He won't know. GPs know nothing about nutrition. They get about 2 hours lecture in the whole 6 or 7 years that they study on nutrition, and they know nothing. Find a properly qualified dietitian or a nutritionist, a state-registered nutrition or a properly qualified dietitian who works in a hospital or in a health service practice. They will be highly trained, highly knowledgeable. Don't believe what your neighbours say, your friends say, your mother-in-law says, especially don't believe what your mother-in-law says.
Michael, we've got to go. If anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that? It's been brilliant. Loved it, Michael. Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you again. All they need to do to find me is go online, and this is a really reputable site. I can recommend it. It's michaelvanstratton.com.
Lovely, Michael.
Just lots of information.
Lovely, as always, and I think we've stirred a few hornet's nests. That's what we're here
to
do.
Michael, that's what we like to do.
Take care, my friend.
You
I'll
too.
See you soon.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.